Well, for those of you that might have a memory like mine, you're probably wondering why that scale is up on the communion table. And I want to remind you that it is because of the series that we are looking at that is based on the four main purposes of the church. And the main title of the series is A Healthy Church is a Well-Balanced Church. Someone else has referred to the four primary purposes as the four foundational pillars. Take any one of the four away and the church will not stand, or at least it won't stand in the way that God intends for it to stand. The four primary purposes of the church being worship, mission, discipleship, and fellowship or community. Is one of the four any more important than any of the others? I don't think so. And there's really a lot of overlap between them. But we started out with worship, which ended last week, because I think that's where we need to start. We have to have the right view of God and the right view of ourselves in relationship to God for the other three to be in their right place. And last week we concluded with worship, which was mostly about worshiping God collectively as His church, when we gather as His people. And a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that in most worship services, there actually should be four movements. There should be a gathering, which is really not so much about us gathering of ourselves, but it's really about God gathering us. And then there's the movement of God speaking to us, which is mostly through His Word, and then us responding, which we often do by singing or sharing or even our offering. And then each worship service should end with ascending. And again, it's not so much about we sending ourselves, but it's about God sending us out into the world. And this morning, we begin our focus on the sending, otherwise referred to as mission. Now, it's been less than 2 years, because I had to go back and look, that we actually did an entire 12-week series on what it means to be missional. And so we're not going to spend that much detail over the next 4 weeks, but we want to just focus on what's most important. God is both a gathering God and a sending God. He gathers His people for worship and for fellowship, and then He sends us out for discipleship and mission. And again, there's lots of overlap between the four, so not one of the four is restricted only to the gathering and the sending. But quite often, we need to be reminded of what God's primary purpose or purposes are for His people here on earth. God needed to remind His people in the Old Testament times, the Israelites, over and over and over and over again. And He needs to remind His people today, Christians, over and over and over again. Why? Because we are all slow learners and a pretty stubborn bunch. There's a reason why Jesus calls His followers His sheep. And it isn't because we are all soft and cuddly. It's mostly because we are pretty slow learners and pretty stubborn, and we often want to go in our own direction. What is our primary purpose as Christians? Well, Jesus tells us at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, when you do that, I will be with you always to the very end of this age." There is a reason why it is called the Great Commission. Because it is our primary purpose. It is the primary mission which God has entrusted with believers during the rest of our time here on earth, however long that may be. And just as God's purpose and mission overlap, so do ours as a church. This from our purpose and mission statement. Our purpose is to glorify God by loving Him, by loving others, by becoming and making disciples of Jesus Christ. And our mission is to share the love of Christ in our own community and around the world. We share the love of Christ in our own community with the hope of becoming better disciples ourselves and making disciples of others. Our scripture for this morning from the book of Acts is actually by the same writer as the Gospel of Luke. And where his gospel was written, mostly to give us an account of Jesus' life here on earth, all the way from his birth, to his life, to his teachings, and then to his death and his resurrection, the book of Acts was written to give an account of the mission of Jesus' followers after his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven, and the sending of his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which actually is the first day the Christian church was born. And it says to the apostles whom he had chosen. Well, the word apostle actually means a sent one. The word apostle in the New Testament actually has two meanings. One is it refers to Jesus' original disciples, the 12 minus Judas plus Matthias, who replaced him, plus Paul. That group had a very special and unique calling upon their lives, and it will never be replaced. But the other meaning of the word apostle is the calling that God has placed on all followers of Jesus, just like the word disciple. All true Christians are both apostles and disciples. All of Jesus' followers are supposed to go out and make disciples, while at the same time becoming better disciples ourselves. And then there's actually a third meaning of the word apostle, and that is those that are given the apostolic gift. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it was he meaning the risen Jesus who ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit who descended on the day of Pentecost, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Yes, every single one of us is entrusted by God with special gifts to either be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a shepherd, or a teacher. And at the same time, every single one of us is called to do every one of those things at different times. Believe it or not, there are even some evangelists among us. Those that have the special gift of going out and sharing their faith and inviting others to come to faith. And yet at the same time, by the very nature of our calling as Christians, every one of us is called to share our faith. Some of us might have the spiritual gift of shepherding, but all of us are called to shepherd one another at different times. And it's the same with teaching and prophecy. Prophecy not meaning those things or those people that predict future events. After all, the scripture this morning tells us that it's not for us to know the dates and the times that the Father has set for us. But a prophetic gift is someone who calls us back to the foundational things of God and what is most important to God's heart. And it's the same with an apostle. An apostle is one whose primary gift or his primary purpose or hers is to go out, to bring the message of Jesus to those who have never heard it. Paul was an apostle in every sense of the biblical definition. Today, many church planters would be apostles, along with many missionaries. Many among us, with the natural inclination to go out into our own community, probably has the gift of being an apostle. And yet, as Christians, every one of us is called to go out, sent out by God. As Christians, we are called by Jesus to be his witnesses, first in Jerusalem, which represents that area which is most immediately around us, like our own family, or our children, or our neighbors, and then to Samaria, which might be at our jobs, or at school, or a ministry a little ways away, and then to the ends of the earth, which we can do ourselves, or we can support others that we send out to do it. And we are called to be witnesses both in our words and in our actions. Faith must be accompanied by deeds and vice versa. As Mennonites who place so much emphasis on our deeds, we need to remind ourselves over and over again that we also need to share our faith verbally. Matthew ends his gospel with the Great Commission, but the Gospel of Mark ends with these words. And Jesus said to them, Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And the gospel writer John, towards the end of his gospel, says, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And Luke's gospel ends with the people waiting for the promised Holy Spirit, which is why he picks up with Jesus sending them out at the beginning of the book of Acts. No matter how we want to put it or what spin we might want to put on it, if we're not following Jesus, we're not following him if we're not going out. Jesus' ministry here on earth was prophesied for hundreds of years before he even came, mostly by the prophet Isaiah. And this is what Isaiah writes in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And Jesus' ministry has become our ministry. The Apostle Paul refers to it as the ministry of reconciliation. As he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ's love compels us, but we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all die. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting his people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then into chapter 6, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Our message, our primary mission, is the message and the ministry of reconciliation. And Paul defines it for us in our passage in 2 Corinthians, that God was reconciling us, the world, restoring us back into relationship with him, not counting people's sins against them. The ministry of reconciliation is first and foremost reconciling people back to God. We often start in the wrong place. We think that we can reconcile people to one another who haven't been reconciled back to God. That isn't going very well. Paul calls us ambassadors. Once again, that word is a title that is mostly used for people that go out, that are sent. In fact, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines an ambassador as the highest-ranking person who represents his or her own government while living in another country. As Christians, we are called by God and then sent out to represent his kingdom, his government, while living in another kingdom, the kingdom of this world. And it is the highest calling that anybody on earth can receive. Jesus' command, go, can just as easily be translated as you go. As you go throughout your daily life, at home with your family, with your spouse, with your children, with your grandchildren, at work with your fellow employees, your customers, the people you serve, at school as a teacher or as a student, or when you're playing sports or participating in other hobbies, in your neighborhood when you're interacting with others, those that live right near you, in your own community, proclaim the good news that Jesus has come, he has died on the cross for the sins of all mankind, and been raised from the dead to reconcile those who repent from their sins and put their faith in him, to reconcile them back to God, to bind up the brokenhearted, to visit those in prison, to help out the poor, to comfort those who are mourning, to grieve with those who are grieving, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor is now. It is the time that we currently find ourselves in. For us here on earth, there is no time after this time. Psalm 118, verse 17, from our call to worship says, I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. I recently came across the title of a book, I Will Not Die But Live, referring to that verse by somebody who had just received a terminal diagnosis of cancer. And the book is about his journey for the next year and a half, and it's entitled, I Will Not Die But Live, and Will Proclaim What the Lord Has Done. This is the only time that we have to do it. Our passage in Acts this morning ends with, while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Translated, they're saying, what are you waiting for? The time is now. Go. Our response song this morning, Facing a Task Unfinished, is one that we have now sung a few times. They are powerful words that speak about the powerful and high calling that God has placed on our lives. Our primary mission as Christians is to go. Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Where other lords beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defy thee still today. With none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition. To thee we yield our powers. O Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untired. From cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake. Forth on thine errands send us to labor for thy sake. As we sing that response song this morning, may that be our prayer to God.